As you'll see this morning, the message is called Coming Ready or Not. It's about the Lord's return. We've just celebrated recently His first Advent, Christmas, and we live now to celebrate His coming again. But it will be coming ready or not. It's about the parable of the 10 virgins that you just heard read. Let me begin by saying this to you. What is a truly good friend? Well, a good friend has integrity, integrity that will even tell us some uncomfortable truths, truths that we might not want to hear. Well, I'm sure we'd all agree that nobody has more integrity than Jesus. And in this parable, He aims an uncomfortable truth at His friends, that is, His followers, that is, professing Christians like us. We are all depicted here as the 10 virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom and his wedding banquet to begin. And if you keep in mind, and maybe you could read this at your leisure later, there are two other passages in the New Testament that actually virtually interpret this parable for us, both Ephesians chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 19. Why do I mention those? Because they show us that Christ is the bridegroom, and they also show us that His bride is called the Christian church. So as friends of the bridegroom, the Christian church is waiting expectantly to celebrate the wedding banquet with Him at His second coming. If you put that all together, what this means is this parable has our name on it. It's got your name on it, it's got my name on it. It describes people just like us. We are the friends of the bridegroom. We've just been singing about that. We are friends of the bridegroom waiting for the return of Christ the bridegroom. But that's exactly where the uncomfortable truth comes in. Why do I say that? Because not all the friends of the bridegroom who waited for Him, not all the virgins are wise. 5 of the 10 were fools who lack what is essential to spend eternity with the bridegroom. So this parable depicts the shocking fact that not all professing Christians, not all people like us who profess to be Christians, not all are true Christians. And the great day when He comes again will expose the dreadful lack of those who are not true, but just professing. But when that great day comes, it's too late to fix it. The parable says the door will be shut against them. So Jesus, with all His integrity, is lovingly warning people like you, like me, to make sure that we are not among the fools, that we are not just professing Christians, but we are, to use Australian terms, that we're fair dinkum Christians, to make sure we do not lack what is essential. And when you think about it, this parable actually reinforces the same truth that Jesus had already said nearly 20 chapters earlier. You remember at the end of His famous Sermon on the Mount, His final statement in that famous sermon was, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall inherit the kingdom of heaven." Not everybody who professes to be a Christian is a Christian. Not everyone who says they are my friends are really my friends. It's a very shocking truth. But it's lovingly told, it's a warning that's lovingly told by a true friend to make sure we are not like that, to make sure that we're not among the fools, to make sure we don't lack what is essential. So with all that in mind, let's have a look at this parable, let's focus on this parable. And my suggestion is that it forces us to think about three big issues, three main issues concerning the return of Christ. The first of those issues is it deals with the critical hour. And then secondly, it deals with a critical failure. And then thirdly, there is a critical question. So let's start with the critical hour. Notice the very first word in the parable. Then. It's an adverb of time, usually translated quite correctly in English, at that time. So as you heard read, this is how the parable begins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. What time is that? Well, that's easy to answer because Jesus is still talking here in chapter 25 about the same topic he had before him in chapter 24. The chapter change doesn't make any difference to the topic. Back in 24, Jesus was talking about the same topic. He was talking about Judgment Day, on the day that the Lord returns. And do you remember how chapter 24 finishes? Jesus says at the end of that chapter, keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. The Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So I'm pointing out this parable is not describing what the kingdom of God is like here and now. It's describing what the kingdom of God will be like there and then at the moment Jesus returns, like a flash of lightning. He is coming, ready or not. Now the reason we need to just get that clear in our minds is because that fact dismisses a criticism that some people have made against these wise virgins. Their criticism is this. When the other 5 virgins asked them to please share their oil with them, remember what they said? Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out, verse 8 says. But the wise ones replied, no, there will not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go out to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves, verse 9. And because of that, it's amazing how many people down through history have accused them of being selfish, harsh, stingy, unloving, and unchristian. So how do we respond to that? Well, I would say this. The criticism might be valid if the scene painted in this parable is talking about here and now, if it's talking about the kingdom of God now while we're alive on this earth, before the return of Christ. Because these are the days we're living in now, the days of gospel grace. And in these sorts of days here and now, would we not agree? It is the duty and the privilege of all true Christians to assist anybody to prepare for meeting the Lord Jesus. If someone said to you and me today, look, I'm not sure that I'm ready to meet the Lord. Could you help me, Pete? I'd love to. I'm sure you would too. But the parable's not talking about here and now. It's talking about the critical moment at the end of history. And that means that then, at that time, the time for getting ready is finished. If someone asks you to help them become prepared for Christ when he's standing in front of us, too late. It's like when Noah he's built the ark and the floods are beating down and the door of the ark is shut. And people are saying, oh, could you please help me to get in? Too late. The time to go in that door was when the ark was open. The time for getting ready is over when Jesus deals with this parable. Then the patience of God with men has run out. Then the days of gospel grace are over. Then it's time for all men to stand before the judge of the world. And you know, Jesus made no secret at all of the verdict from that judge. Do you remember his words? They're very famous, found in Luke chapter 19. Jesus says, when he comes in judgment, this is what it'll be like. To those who have, more will be given. But to those who have not, even what little they have shall be taken from them. So these 5 wise virgins were fully prepared to meet the bridegroom. But they can't prepare for anybody else. They can't prepare for other people. No one can prepare for anybody else. That is your individual responsibility. It's my individual responsibility. Only I can prepare myself to meet the Lord. Only you can prepare yourself to meet the Lord. When they said, go out and buy from the traders at midnight, go and buy oil for yourself, go and get ready yourself. Yes, you'd all agree it was hopeless going out at midnight to buy oil. All the traders were shut. But that's exactly the point of the parable. It is equally absurd trying to get ready for Christ's coming once he's standing here before us. It's too late preparing for judgment once it is upon us. The time for getting ready, the time for entering a door is when it is open. not when it's shut. So now is the acceptable time to get ready. In these days of gospel grace, where the oil of gospel, to use that phrase loosely, but the oil of grace is still available. But when Christ comes, it's no longer available. Now is the acceptable time to get right with God. When judgment begins, the door is shut. So you can see what the parable's about. Jesus is saying to us, "Come, I'm coming, ready or not." Now the second big issue raised by the parable is the critical failure. It doesn't matter what style of oil-burning lamps they used. There's only one main point to notice here. The main point is that the five of them did have the necessary oil, but the other five did not. Verse 3 tells us in very plain language, the foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. And so we read, when it was time to light the lamps, the five fools came unstuck. What did they say? Our lamps are going out. By the way, there have been some silly comments made by commentators over time. This does not imply that they were operating quite okay up until that point, but they wouldn't go anymore because they used up all their oil. People said, notice what the text says, the bridegroom was a long time in coming. So these critics say, oh, well, they've used up all their oil. The parable does not imply that these fools were ready for some time. It does not imply that if the bridegroom had come earlier, they would have been safe and ready. Do you know the Bible repeatedly rules that sort of idea out? The Bible tells us over and again that whoever is properly prepared for Christ today is prepared forever. You cannot be ready for Christ today and lose it tomorrow. The simple fact is that these five fools were never ready. Despite their pretensions, despite their enthusiasm, so how should we interpret that phrase, our lamps are going out? Well, the correct interpretation is this. What they're saying is, each time we try to light them, they just flicker and keep going out. They fail to ignite. They will not run on the smell of an oily rag. They actually need oil. That's the fuel. So it's a critical failure at the critical hour. So what is the Bible's big picture of this failure? What is the essential oil? What is the essential, the one essential preparation that every one of us must have if we're going to enter into God's glorious kingdom in Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus gives emphatic answers to that, not just once or twice either, but I'll tell you what he says as you know these passages. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. That's in John chapter 3. He repeated it again three chapters later. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. That's the essential thing. Do you know, this is one of the most important things I'd like to get across to the whole Christian church in the world today. What really disturbs me about the global church, I'm using the word generally speaking, the global church has this opinion that somebody, a sinner, can just become a Christian whenever they want to. They can make up their mind today or tomorrow, the next day. They can unilaterally decide, yeah, I'm going to become a Christian. The biblical truth is nobody can become a Christian if and when they choose. True faith, true Christian faith, has to be given to you by God. It's a gift of God's grace. You can't work it up. I can't work it up. It can only happen when a sinner is enabled by God the Father, enabled to believe. And we know what that's called. It's called regeneration, new birth. God enables dead sinners to come to new life in Christ. It radically changes us from the inside. Our blind eyes are opened. Our deaf ears start to hear the truth. Our stony, rebellious heart is taken out and replaced with a soft heart of flesh that responds to God. We become what the New Testament calls a whole new creation. The old me is gone. The old man in Adam is gone. The old dead in sin me is replaced by the new alive me, the alive me in Christ. Then and only then we will actually understand what so many people sing fairly mindlessly, really. You know these famous words, it's a great hymn. But I've been a Presbyterian pastor now for 42 years or more, and I've heard this sung by people, I know they don't really believe it, but a great hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When that regenerating work is done, then we have the oil we need to be the light of this world, to be living in God's kingdom. So here's the third thing that the parable brings to us. I call it the critical question. The critical question from this parable is this: am I properly prepared for Christ's return? Am I like the five wise virgins, or am I more like the five fools? When the door is closed, when the kingdom door is closed, will it shut me inside or shut me out? Do I have the essential oil? Have I been born again? Has the Holy Spirit worked amazing grace in me, changing me from a child of Adam to a child of God? Now, my dear friends, you must answer for yourselves, and I must answer for myself. And nothing else in your life or in your history can do the answering for you. Okay, so I've been 42 years a Presbyterian minister. That's got nothing to do with it. Am I ready for Christ to come now? That's the question. Now, what have you been doing for the last half a century? Do you love him right now? Can you say with the Apostle Paul, see if you know this verse, it's a fantastic verse, isn't it? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Can you honestly, can we honestly say that? If so, we're among the wise virgins. If not, we're history. That's what this parable's all about. That's a critical question. Let me share with you something that I find quite tragic about this parable, but it's a tragic truth. The tragedy is this: they went to a lot of trouble to see the bridegroom, these foolish ones. They went to a lot of trouble. They waited so long. Their hopes were very high. And now, at last, the moment they've been waiting for and anticipating, their joy has come. The bridegroom is here. And the word goes out, get ready, light your lamps. He's here. Let's put a face on. So this is not just parabolic. Let's just put a face on these five foolish virgins. Who are they? Well, they don't hesitate to call themselves Christians. Some of them are churchgoers, probably most of them. They have all the outward symbols. They have lamps. They've been baptized. They pray. They read Bibles. They hear sermons. They try to live by the Ten Commandments, but they'll miss out on heaven. This is, just excuse me a minute, this is bringing some quite emotional scenes to my mind. After 42 years, I'm sad to say, I think I knew some of those people in my congregations, various congregations in various states. They're people who have read the parable of the ten virgins. They've heard sermons on the parable of the ten virgins over and over again, and they have missed the point still. I find that tragic. I don't think it'd be very hard to find pastors, ministers with any experience at all who haven't seen that over and over again, and it makes you cry. People who are happy to come to church and happy to profess Christian faith, but they're just as hell-bound as the godless and profane who would never darken the door of a church. That's the tragedy which this parable is teaching. See what integrity Jesus has? He has the integrity to tell us his friends truths that we don't welcome, truths that we wouldn't want to hear normally. But he's telling us because he loves us, so that we will not be like these fools. So the bottom line, what is the bottom line for each of us coming out of this parable? Well, I can't find a better text to summarise it than 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. You'll see the words in front of you there, where the apostle says this: examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? So my dear friends here at Gympie, I urge you all to do that test and to ask yourself questions like this. Have I been born again? Is my whole reason for living Jesus Christ and his glory, not me and my self-interests? For me to live is me. That's where a lot of people in the world are at. For me to live is me. For me to live is Christ is the truth. Can I honestly sing that famous hymn? You'll all know it. I think we have to say, can I honestly sing it? My hope is built on nothing less than what? Than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim. I entirely, wholly trust on Jesus' name. And if the answer is negative, I still have some good news for you. Call on the God of grace while there are still days of grace. Call on God to change you. Say something like this to the God of all mercy and grace. Oh Lord, please change me. Please make me a true follower of Jesus. And because God has already done it for millions and millions of lost souls, he still loves to do it today. But once Christ returns, those days are gone, coming, ready or not. God still loves to turn people to himself. He is rich in mercy. But whatever you do, friends, do not ignore him. It's very late. In fact, it's too late to buy the good oil at midnight. I think we should really sincerely thank Jesus that he told this parable. It's just love and kindness to warn us of this terrific danger so that we might avoid it. But if we trifle with this parable, if we trifle with the warning that it brings to us, we will invoke God's ultimate warning. And now this takes us back to the Proverbs reading, back to our reading in Proverbs 1. We will fall foul of this if we don't take notice of the parable. What does it say in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32? Since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. That is God speaking. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. I want to leave you this morning with the words of an old hymn, not just because it is a good old hymn, and it is, but because it's a good prayer actually too, for all of us to be praying. You would know it very well. Search me, O God, how does it go on, and know my heart today. Try me, O Saviour, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me, some foolish way in me, like these five virgins. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Well, my prayer is that God would be pleased to bless this message from his own word, for his glory and for our blessing, eternal blessing. Amen.